Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Brad Thomas of CBS Sports will join us. We will go over the NBA playoffs, Spurs and Thunder, some NHL playoffs. We'll see what Brad's thinking with the World Cup, which is coming up soon. College football, we're not quite there yet, but you are to the point where, you know what, these games in the NBA, it starts to just be one at a night. We've been one a night. We've been there for a bit now. And it starts to just slow to a crawl. And before you know it, we're going to be in the NBA Finals. But we still have a classic Western Conference Finals ahead. And I want to start with Spurs Thunder. I'm going to spend more time on the Knicks. The way the days break here, and Thunder Spurs being as prominent as it is in the way the days break, that's why I haven't done it as much. I will say this, though, about the Knicks. When the Celtics lost to the Sixers beat them that Game 7 that Saturday night, the day of the Kentucky Derby. It's like 3 weeks ago now. I thought then the Knicks were going to the finals. I thought it broke perfectly for them, and I still feel that way. I haven't seen anything here to change my mind. We'll see how this series looks once it flips to Cleveland on Saturday night, but I'd be shocked right now if the Knicks are not in the finals here Wednesday, June 3rd, playing the winner of the Spurs Thunder. So we'll do more of that on the Monday show. I'll have plenty of time, and that will lead into that is a Monday Memorial Day game, and we'll see then. If the Knicks are going for the sweep, because the Knicks are well on their way. I know the Cavs have played well at home, and who knows, maybe they get a couple of these in Cleveland and the series looks different, but the Knicks well on their way to an NBA Finals. We'll see if they can finish it. And, you know, we'll do more on that next week. But, the NBA Finals with the New York Knicks in it, it's hard to comprehend. It's hard to imagine, really. I know they've gradually been building towards it. But there was a time not that long ago where they were so dysfunctional. It didn't seem like this day was going to come, but we are not there yet, but we're certainly knocking on the doorstep. But Spurs Thunder, round three, game two, the Thunder covered. They got home. They even the series at one, but boy, it was not easy. It seemed like, and the Thunder led by 11.5, it seemed like every time the Thunder would get it to 8 or 10, and you say, like, all right, that was it. They're going to pull away. The Spurs just kept coming and coming and coming. 7 or 8 times it got around double digits in the Spurs, just including towards the end where they had a 3 in the air to make it a 2-point game. And you're thinking, wow, I've thought this game was over a number of different times. And if you had the spread, it was not over until the end. 7-point game. It looked like maybe the Thunder would dribble it out. Look like maybe the Spurs would just say, you know what, we'll see you for game three and not foul. Caruso says, enough of this. I'm going to go to the basket, lays it in, goes up by 9. Spurs miss. OKC rebounds, then it lands on 9. So OKC gets the cover. The trend continues of the team losing game one at home, winning and covering in game two, but this was not as easy as the final score indicated. They were in control most of the way, but a little concerning for OKC that they had to work this hard. The one thing, though, for San Antonio, and it's why, you know, coming into the series, I liked OKC in 6. He could have talked me into 7. I went with 6. After game 1, I said, you know what, try not to overreact, but I have some concern right now about OKC. San Antonio looks just as good, if not better. The reason I'm back to OKC, and it's not just the result, Harper hurt for the Spurs. Fox hurt for the Spurs. I know Jalen Williams is hurt for the Thunder, but OKC can withstand injuries more than the Spurs can withstand injuries. If you don't get at least one of Fox or Harper back, and not just back, but healthy and a full version of themselves. And Harper's a guy, you know, he's out there 60-70%. It's just not going to be the same. He's reliant on his explosiveness, his athleticism. This is going to be a problem for the Spurs and the every other day nature of the series. I just think OKC wears them down. And right now, and the Spurs are laying 2 in game 3. OKC, a small minus 160 favorite, a decent 160 favorite for the series. I think OKC gets one of these 2 games. I'm not sure which one, but I'd be pretty surprised if San Antonio gets both, considering the injuries. I don't expect Harper to play. And if OKC gets a split and San Antonio has a hard time getting bodies back here, and it's 2-2, OKC's got 5 at home, they've got 7 at home, I think OKC will probably figure out a way to win this series and move on. I get how good Wemby is, and a lot of the game 3 in the games in San Antonio, maybe just all the games going forward, are going to come down to how this is officiated. They were very physical with Wembanyama, just grabbing him, clutching him, holding him. It was the old Patriots, Colts, how they just maul the receivers every play and say, you know what, you can't call all of them. We're just going to be physical with them. And playing at home, I think they got maybe a more fortunate whistle than they'll get in San Antonio. Hartenstein, who I thought maybe they'd get banished to the bench, or would get banished to the bench. That was not the case. He played a lot. He played well. So we'll see here. I would take, if anything, I would take OKC in game three. I got a feeling OKC is going to win in one of these and maybe win this one on Friday. And then if it's OKC up 2-1, look, I know Wemby, how great he is. I know that Spurs have had their number. The series is going to feel a lot different if it is OKC 2-1. If it's Spurs 2-1, you're going to have a lot of juice heading into Monday night, Memorial Day. Because what is that? Yeah, that is, let's see. Yeah, oh, wait, that's Sunday night. So that's Sunday night game four. I mean, that, either way, that Sunday night game four, with somebody up 2-1 and looking to go up 3-1, there's going to be a lot of juice, a lot of excitement to that. And we'll be recording before that on Sunday, unfortunately, so we won't cover too much of that, and we'll obviously get to it once we get to a game five. But I think we're looking at a longer series. I just think OKC, with their depth and the Spurs injuries, I think the Thunder are eventually going to pull away and figure out a way to win three out of the next five. I think we're all hoping, bets aside, just as a fan, first off, injuries, that the injuries don't mar the series, and we're kind of on the way to that with Harper being hurt. I know Jalen Williams being hurt kind of nullifies that and cancels out a little bit. But I just hope injuries, you know, are not what determines this series. But OKC's got a lot of bodies, and you just wonder, can Wembanyama hold up with all the stress on him night in, night out, and in every other day nature of the series? I'm not sure. So we'll see. I kind of lean towards OKC winning the third game, but I do feel pretty good that they're going to get one of these two. I'd be pretty surprised if we're sitting there on Monday and it's 3-1 San Antonio. That would surprise me. And I always say this too, when you're the road team, you kind of do have to be up 3-1 to win, because if you're 2-2 with 5 on the road and 7 on the road, that's not often what results in a win. I know Cleveland was able to do that against Detroit in the last round. It happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but if you really feel good, if you really want to win the series, you kind of have to be up 3-1 and then give yourself one chance to close it out at home and a couple chances to close it out on the road. So we'll see here. Thought coming in, everyone kind of thought it would be a long series. It's certainly looking that way. I thought the Spurs, even in defeat the other day, were ultra, ultra impressive just with their constant rally and just can't put them away. Just, incredible relentlessness from the Spurs. So be a lean towards OKC. Don't feel great about it. I do think, like I said, I do think we probably get a split here, and it's 2-2. And hey, you turn this into a best of three, and we'll see how it goes from there. But I do feel pretty confident OKC is going to win this series much more than I did the other day. And look, that's not what I was expecting the other day. I thought OKC would kind of run them out in game two. And the fact that the Spurs kept it close, if these teams were healthy, I might pick OKC. I just don't know if the Spurs, with no Fox, with no Harper, the OKC just has so many more bodies that I think they might figure out a way here to win three out of the next five. Caruso for MVP. Talked about it 100-1 the other day. It's now 50-1, so a long way to go. Tie goes to the superstar here. SGA played a brilliant game in game two, made a ton of shots. He was awesome in game two. And this hopefully is not another one where, hey, SGA plays great, the Thunder win, and you could give it to either guy, but they give it to SGA. And if, hey, if that's the case, that's part of the bet. They're probably going to give it to SGA in that case. But, yeah, we'll see if Caruso can give us a shot here. You're going to need some duds from SGA. Caruso to continue to play great. There's going to a lot of things are going to need to happen, but that number has at least been cut in half. So going in the right direction there, Caruso MVP. Quickly on baseball. You know, I've done baseball here and there. A couple of things. Yankees slumping right now. Big series this weekend against Tampa. The old saying, Memorial Day weekend. And it's hard to believe we're already at Memorial Day weekend. But Memorial Day weekend, 75% of the teams that are in first place go on to win the division. I've never actually fact-checked that, but I've heard that long enough where I think there's probably some truth to that. The Rays have played well here. We'll see if the Yankees can chase them down. I would think they would be able to. Cole makes his debut on Friday, so we'll keep an eye on that. I never trust these guys making their debuts on Friday, you know, just in general, the long layoff. They're out of rhythm. They're often rusty. They're often a little shaky. So I'd actually look towards over 8. I think the Yankees' bats will wake up eventually. They're going to, they'll score some runs, I would think, off Martinez. And I think the Rays probably hit Cole a little bit in Cole's first start back. The other one, the Tigers now 11 games under 500. Scooble may very well find himself on another team in a couple months. And I would not put it past the Dodgers. How could you say, you know what, let's just go for the three-peat. We'll give you a few prospects. Tigers, we'll look at it that way and say, you know what, at least we get something for them. And there will be plenty of teams bidding. But I would not be surprised. The Tigers now 5 games out of a wild card. It's not insurmountable. But you have to look at a big picture and say, hey, what – are we really a contender? I know a good week and you're 2 games out and you don't want to you know, think that way. And a couple of years ago, they were way out of it and came back to, you know, to make a playoff spot, win a wild card. And last year it was the opposite, where they blew a big lead, held on, made the playoffs, and, you know, lost in the ALDS. But Scooble being on the move is very, very possible. So that's something to keep an eye on. And I guess he threw a bullpen on Thursday, so he's perhaps not that far away from making a return. But also making a return is Brad Thomas. We'll talk some NBA. We'll talk some NHL. Maybe some college football. That is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we're back. Should Have Been More podcast. You catch him, CBS Sports. He joins us once again. It is Brad Thomas. Brad, how are you, man? Thanks for coming on.
I'm doing pretty good, man. I think any time that we're recording and it's like one of the days of golf, I'm in a really good mood, especially early in the tournament when all of your guys have the opportunity to win. So I'm like in that, oh, I woke up early, turned on the tournament. My guys are not in dead last. So I'm in a good mood and ready to talk sports.
Let's start game three Friday night, Spurs and OKC. We are down now to a best of five. The Spurs just kept coming in game two, man. It seemed like seven or eight times. It seemed like OKC was going to run away and had it up to 8 or 10. Spurs would tie or get within two. And it was just a yo-yo back and forth. I give the Spurs a lot of credit, even though they didn't win. They didn't cover the game. But they showed a lot of resilience, which I know is a cliche and a buzzword. But, man, it was true in game two. Game three, Spurs a small favorite, both teams with some injury concerns. What do you think happens here in game three, and what do you think happens going forward?
You know, it's kind of crazy thinking about this series because, like, I don't think Dagenau's that much better of a coach than Mitch Johnson. And when Mitch Johnson started, I think I would never have said that. And Dagenau's an NBA champion, right? Like an NBA Finals winner. This Spurs team is just unfair, right? Stephon Castle, and I'm going to start with him because I think he is actually one of the most important players on this team, especially with the Aaron Fox injury. Stephon Castle turned the ball over 11 times in game one, but the amount of energy that he played with, the amount of contributions that he had made them live to win when your point guard is turning the ball over 11 times. Then in game two, another great performance, but you knew OKC was going to give their best performance because they could not drop the two home games. But like you said, what's really scary for the Thunder is they gave their best performance and San Antonio was right there. Having a freak alien like Victor Wembanyama on the court is the ultimate trump card to how good your team is, because it's not often where teams are building their entire offensive and defensive game plan around a singular player. That's how big his impact is. I heard something when I was watching the game last night where one of the commentators said, OKC is bringing in their small lineup because they need to stretch the floor against Wembanyama and make him play in space. And like that was literally the only time they were really effective offensively, unless it was just SGA doing something on his own. I don't know if this OKC team is going to continue to get the contributions. I think the Jalen Williams injury is going to be big if it's going to be long-term. I think the Spurs win this series. They're just a team that has the best player, and he's probably going to be the best player in the world for a long time, as long as he stays healthy. He wrecks the game on the offense and defensive side of the ball. He also takes OKC out of their game plan. Like, this is not a team that wants to go small all the time, and they're forced to get the spacing. So every time they penetrate, it's not Wembanyama just sitting in the middle of the paint and dominating them.
What do you expect out of Harper? So it sounds like you like Spurs game three, Spurs for the series. Do you think they need Harper? Can they win without Harper? Do you expect Harper to be back? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know if Harper's going to be back. What do you have, hammy? I don't even know what the injury was. Was it a hammy?
It says right leg.
Right leg.
Not
yeah,
clear looks about like hamstring.
Looked like a hammy to me. I don't think he's going to be back. They have props listed for him right now, which I don't think he's going to, which makes sense. I don't think he's going to play. If he comes back, you know, how effective is he going to be? I do think he is important. But I just felt like the contributions they were getting from other players, like Vassell even had started to come in, started hitting threes late in the game, which kind of brought that yo-yo back. I think they win this game. I can't believe the spread's only 2.5. I actually think they win this game by margin. This is a Spurs team that has won a ton of championships, went through their down phase of really bad basketball. Now this is their Western Conference final home opener with a team that they believe in, that they can get behind, the energy in that building in San Antonio is going to be enormous. So I think they cover. I think Harper's going to be a big miss, but I think the emotional impact of this game is going to be enough to kind of make up where they lack from missing Harper.
Do you think they get both in San Antonio?
No.
So we're what? We're 2-2, and then what? They win it in seven? They win it in six? How do you think the series plays out going forward?
I think they win this in seven. I think they still, it's going to be gross, and it's going to be, this team is just relentless, man. And did we not even mention they're not playing with De'Aaron Fox right now, too? And you can't tell. Like, you can't tell. This team is just, God, battle-tested. They, and by battle test, I mean, like, they beat this team in the cup, right? They beat this team all season. And with OKC, you're not going to just get these contributions from Alex Caruso every night, right? Like, he's just not going to, like, you're like, in no disrespect to him, he's an NBA champion, right? Multiple NBA champion. But they are getting the ball effectively out of SGA's hands, and they're asking for contributions out of guys like Alex Caruso to be lethal from three every game. Like, that's just not, it's just not, he's not that kind of three-point shooter.
Yeah, we deserve seven games of this. The regular season is just not good anymore. The first couple rounds have been kind of meh. Our Magic got knocked down game. I don't even know if I talked about this, but I had some huge long shot tickets on the Magic to win the East. jumped in after game one or during game one of the Pistons Magic series. And if Franz didn't get hurt, maybe they're still playing. But that's,
I bet the Magic
was a tough
preseason
one.
And at really good numbers. And coaching malpractice is the reason the Magic aren't still playing.
Yeah, he wasn't. Mosley was not a good coach. I was shocked the Pelicans gave him another shot. Yeah, 40-1, 80-1, couple other different numbers. Just needed to get to them to the conference finals. And I think I would have hedged. I know I've said that before, and I ended up not hedging, and it came back to bite me. But regardless, time to move on. Do you think, and we're recording this before game two of the East, so you like the Spurs to come out of the West, or are they just going to take care of business of, I would assume, the Knicks, but whoever comes out of the East, do you give that team a shot, or this is just going to be, we're basically looking at the championship here in the
I
Western
think this
Conference
is the championship
finals.
Game. You know, the fragility of the Cavaliers is remarkable. You have two superstars leading your line right there, and Donovan Mitchell and James Harden, and neither of them have, I don't know what, not the it factor, not the clutch factor, but maybe like the in-between. Like, they could dominate the game for three quarters, and they could dominate the last minute of a game, that clutch. But like that in-between, when times get really sticky, like the 5 minutes before the last 2 minutes is like probably where they play the worst basketball. And for James Harden, it's defensively, he's a liability on the court. And then for Donovan Mitchell, I think he just doesn't know how to take command of this team. A lot of their offense, and you'll start to notice this after I say this, in that 5 minutes before the 2 minutes less of the game, is run through James Harden. I think it's gotta be run through Donovan Mitchell. He should be the alpha of this team, and it's not. And then the Knicks, Karl-Anthony Towns, I think, is the weakest link of the superstars on that Knicks team. Karl-Anthony Towns makes the most boneheaded decisions in game. It almost cost the Knicks when he had that the grab in the game
so
last game.
That was so stupid. Like, then he acts like, "Hey, what did I do? You grabbed the guy for no reason."
But he does stuff like that every high leverage situation. He does stuff like that. So yeah, I think it's going to be Spurs or Thunder, but I really do think the Spurs win a title.
All right, we'll switch gears here. We'll get to a few different things. College football, has your prep begun? Obviously, with the transfer portal, it's almost like you have to start over from scratch every year with these teams. Where are you at with college football? Is there a bet you like to recommend? Bet you like to recommend? And where are you here in terms of your preparation?
Yeah, I've started my preparation already, and you know, like you said, the transfer portal really is interesting because with the implementation of the transfer portal, it would be nice if every spring game was aired on television. But now, because of the transfer portal, a lot of these schools don't want to air the spring game because, I don't know, they don't want to let the cat out of the bag. Like, this guy's going to play X, Y, Z amount. I don't know what the exact reason is. I know there's a lot of fear factor to it. I don't want any part of that, right? That's something I kind of want to stay very far away from. Right now, what I've been doing is seeing like who's creating buzz, who's generating buzz in terms of players. Like, after spring. I don't have any futures in hand right now, and that's probably the scariest part, but I think we still have some time. I do think that I am upgrading some teams and downgrading some. I don't know if the Miami Hurricanes should be minus 130 to win their conference. And it's not because I don't think they're the best team in the ACC. I think Darian Mintz coming in over Miami was probably the biggest news that happened for this team. They're going to be stacked on the offensive line. Their running back room is sick. They have Malachi Toney. Their secondary is decent. Their defensive line is going to be good. But we've seen this time and time again. New puzzle pieces, expectation level. Minus 135 to win your conference is just such a huge ask for any team in any conference, right? And then we go over to the Big 12. Like, I look at the Big 12, and I think the Big 12 is more wide open than people believe. On paper, Texas Tech is the most talented team, bar none. No Sorsby. Turning to either a quarterback who's coming off injury, being injured last year, or someone with no experience, that's a big deal when it comes to a title game. Maybe BYU, right? Maybe BYU, maybe Utah, but Utah with a new coach. I'm not a buyer in Kansas State. I think Houston will be better. I think that conference is a lot more wide open than Texas Tech being the plus 100 favorite. The Big Ten is probably my favorite conference this year in terms of parity. And I think that you can make a legitimate argument that any of the Big Four, it's funny that I'm throwing USC in this conversation, but you can make a legitimate argument that any of the Big Four of the Big Ten have a chance to win the title. I do think Indiana is going to continue to be good. I think they are going to, I am downgrading them slightly. What they did last season was remarkable. That kind of consistency happens at big teams frequently, right? Like the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, where you lose a ton of players to the draft. And what happens? It's next man up. They haven't built that culture yet. And I'm not saying they're incapable of it, but they haven't had we haven't been down that road yet. I am an okay believer in Hoover, but I do think Hoover puts you in more danger at always than Mendoza does. Ohio State's going to be fun because I do think Julian Sand takes another step, and the accuracy that he already possesses makes him deadly. Oregon, I think Oregon will always, always come down to their quarterback play. And Dante Moore, to me, at this point, doesn't have the it factor. So I think Oregon can make a title game, but if they're playing against Ohio State or Indiana, I'm going to give the edge to Ohio State or Indiana. And then USC is the absolute wildest of wild cards. if Jaden could go out there and put up Herculean numbers under center, then Miami, it's a team that's really, really fun to watch. I don't think we talked about the SEC, did we?
No, and I'll just give you the title odds here, and you let me know, and you just take it whatever direction you want here. Ohio State and Texas both the short shot 6-1. Notre Dame and Oregon 7-1. Miami +750. Georgia +850. So is Indiana, and then everyone else starting with A&M and LSU 18-1 or longer. Bama, your squad there 25-1. Ole Miss is 25-1. Does anything there sound wrong? Does anything there sound like a bet?
Let me start by saying this. I don't think anybody higher than 35-1 can win. There's no Indianas this year. Will, man, I hate to say this, dude. I hate to say this because literally everybody, and I'm not going to say Alabama, but literally everybody in their mother is going to say this. But how do you not take Notre Dame? Like, how do you not take Notre Dame? Right? CJ Carr could be the absolute real deal. The wide receiver core is good. Their secondary is elite with what's his name? Oh my God, I just drew a blank. What is it, Leonard Moore out in the backfield? Their defensive line is stout. And you know, what's even better about Notre Dame is they don't play anybody. And before we used to say iron sharpens iron, you want to play a tough schedule. But now a tough schedule can really put you in harm's way with the NIL and transfer portal really cutting down the depth of these teams. I think Notre Dame at plus 700 is probably my favorite, but I'm not a believer in Texas, and it's not because of the talent. Texas is going to have the most expensive roster in college football. Arch Manning has absolutely zero excuse. He's going to have an elite offensive line. He's going to have two of the best running backs in the country. He has a wide receiver core that people would dream of. But he has a coach that I think falls short. And Sarkisian's a really good coach for the regular season. Oregon, not a believer. Georgia, not a quarterback believer there. Miami, I just think it's really hard to replicate the season they just had. LSU should probably be 30-1. And Texas A&M, Marcel Reed's not good enough.
How? At what point are we doing this ridiculous 2014 college football playoff? Look, I mean, you just get to a point where the regular season just doesn't matter. I know you could say, well, Ohio State, Michigan doesn't matter anymore, but the game between, you know, South Carolina and Vandy is now all of a sudden going to be a huge game, which there's some truth to, but man, at some point, enough's enough. 24 is too many. What are your thoughts on it? When do we get it? And is it as bad as everyone's making it out to be?
Well, it is coming because the only thing college football higher-ups care about is the dollar sign. They don't care about the fan experience, and they're not making money off of the game. Yes, sure, they're making a little bit of money, but they're not compared to more playoffs. I think it's stupid, though, because, Will, you know me, Bama guy. I've always thought when it was a 14 playoff, like the teams that are below that should have never lost, right? You go undefeated in the regular season, you have no excuse. The argument was always between one and two lost teams if they deserve to be in the 14 playoff. Then we expand. We literally, Will, we have 3 and 4 lost teams with literally being upset about not being in the playoffs. We're going to have 4 and 5 lost teams being upset. And then we're going to get to this argument of, and we'll be able to, it'll happen, where there will be a really good 4-loss SEC team, a really good 5-loss SEC team that played one of the top SOS schedules. And they're going up against a 2-loss team that played absolutely no one. And then we're going to be having this debate of, does the 4-loss SEC team belong in over a 2-loss, let's go, this will be down in the future, we'll say a 2-loss Texas Tech, right? It's going to be tough. And I don't want to be part of that. I already thought it was kind of gross where, you know, Alabama got the benefit of the doubt this year. And I thought it was kind of gross that people were complaining either way, for or against Alabama. Me sitting there, I got a little inside information where I knew Alabama was safe no matter what for the SEC championship. But the week before the SEC championship, me sitting there with the belief that Alabama could be left out, I didn't think that I deserved it. I didn't think I deserved to be upset that if Alabama gets left off. And I don't think teams deserve to be upset if they get left off and they're the bottom of the barrel teams. And by the bottom of the barrel, I mean those last first ones in and first ones out. It sucks what's happening with the college football and this 2014 playoff. Will, are conference title games going to not matter anymore? Because what did Georgia get? What did Georgia get for winning their conference?
No, it's look, it's a good point. I don't know what the conference title games, if that's something they go away with or they do away with. I would imagine that's possible, and you just strip everything down and just make more rounds of playoffs. I would imagine that's certainly, you know, discussed, if not likely.
When what's going to happen, Will, and this is not me being an SEC homer, when the SEC has 6 and 7 teams in a college football playoff at 24, the internet is going to explode.
Yes, no, it's changed all these sports. I mean, college basketball with these guys that are 25 and they were in the 2020 NBA draft and they play a couple pro seasons. Now they're back in college basketball. I don't know where
that
it goes. When the games start,
me.
Like, we all enjoy the games. We enjoy watching them. We enjoy betting them. But this is so far past the point of being college sports. It's just ridiculous.
Do you know what's funny, though, Will? We talk about this now, right? Like, we're having these conversations. I think there's a belief, or there's at least a sentiment, that our parents went through something similar, right? Like, as the sports evolve, we always make a big fuss about if it's going to work, if it's going to ruin the sport, and ultimately we consume it, and ultimately it's something that we love. I just hate it for what it stands for. If they were doing this, like if they were expanding the college football playoff because they legitimately thought it was more fair to get 24 teams in, I would be all for it. But the 24th ranked team that's going to get into the playoffs is going to be a double-digit favorite if they make it to the title game.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. World Cup, before we get you out of here, what should we be betting? What have you bet? Give us a little overview for people that don't follow soccer.
Yeah, World Cup. We have an expanded, talking about expanded brackets. We have an expanded World Cup. Well, we have, 48 teams now this year, which means there's going to be a lot of really stinky games. I do think, unlike college football, those 48 teams do belong to be in because the qualification process is quite tenuous and tedious. I think I'm going to see this price right now. I think there's still some value on France to win. They're down to plus 500, second favorite. This France team's incredible. If we go from team to team, we go best back line, France. So that's best defense. Best midfield, France. Maybe England, France. And then the best attack, it's France without question. You have Kylian Mbappe, Michael Olise, already two names that are absolutely incredible. Then we bring in the Ballon d'Or winner and Ousmane Dembele. Then you have the Premier League second highest creator, chances creator player in Ryan Cherki, who's probably going to start on the bench. Their squad depth is insane. I think the only thing that will hold them back is the managerial style with Didier Deschamps. Spain has some question marks. They lose one of their young talents in Fermin Lopez. Lamine Yamal is going to miss the group stages with injury. How does he come back? Is he going to be fully fit by the time he comes back? England is England. England has a talented squad. Thomas Tuchel is a fantastic manager, especially a tournament manager. But there's just something about them getting over the hump. Brazil, horrible call-ups by Carlo. Argentina's old. Portugal, not there for me, and Germany can't score. So I think it's probably between Spain, France, and England, and I just think it's France's tournament to lose.
NHL, I meant to ask you about this. Are we still looking at a Colorado-Carolina final? Is Colorado in trouble after losing game 1-4-2 to Vegas? What's a big picture thought here on the NHL?
Dude, I'm actually, I don't know if this is going to be on video now. I'm wearing a Vegas shirt right here. Jack Eichel is my favorite hockey player. And it's so cool that he plays for Vegas because I love Vegas. I'm not a Vegas Knights fan at all, but I love like the city of Vegas. I did not believe that Vegas could go into last night's game and win. They have been one of the hottest teams over the past 2 months. And even in game, we're in the second period, and I think Colorado's going to win. Colorado comes and brings it to a one-goal game. And I still did not believe Vegas was going to win. I think the series goes seven. I think Colorado wins. And then, yeah, I think the Hurricanes just take care of the Habs. I would rather have seen the Sabres against the Habs. I mean, against the Hurricanes. But, yeah, it's going to be – I'm not going to say that. I'm not saying it's chalk. I'm going to go Vegas versus Carolina. I think the Habs are the better team. But Torts has been having this Knights team play like Stanley Cup winners. And for anybody who follows hockey or who doesn't follow hockey, I guess I should be drawing their attention to. It's never about who has the better team in hockey when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's who is the hottest team coming in always. And that right now is Vegas.
Brad, you're the best man. This was fun. Well, let everyone know where we can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on X at Mr. Brad Thomas. And listen, every week I give out an expansive Horses for Courses article on the PGA Tour, which details strategy, analysis, and I put a little bit of betting twist on it. And then you can find my in-play articles as well, rounds 1, 2, and 3, and that's on pgatour.com. And last but not least, make sure you follow me and check me out on sportsline.com.
All right, rate, review, subscribe. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Brad Thomas. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back on Monday. See you then.